2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Taphmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahoite, one of the three mighty men with David. When they defied the Philistines, that there were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. Now verse 11 and 12 is what I want to focus on here tonight. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. And I want to talk on the subject here for just a little while. We need Shammahs. We need Shammahs. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this list of mighty men of David. And Lord, I didn't go through all the list here, but Lord, we thank you that there's always going to be, I believe, some Shammahs. And Lord, I pray that you might raise up tonight some Shammahs here tonight. Lord, our country is in a mess. Our homes are in a mess, and our churches. And the devil just wants the lentils. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to be Shammahs tonight, and just to stay right where you are, and take the word of God and fight the Philistines, fight the old devil in the name of the Lord, and let the Lord work a great victory in our life. So, please help me, Lord, as I bring this message, and us as we listen, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, please. This chapter gives a list of David's mighty men. Now, some of these men, God had briefly summarized some heroic deed. For instance, we already read about Adino the Esnite. It says of him that he killed 800 of the Philistines, or the enemy, at one time. I would say that's pretty heroic, wouldn't you say? And then here's another man who is a great man and a great warrior and one of David's mighty men. And his name was Dodo. Now, you know, I know that as more kids are being born in Christian homes and you're looking for more Bible names and you're running out of names, you know, you want Joshua, but no, I can't have that because somebody else named Joshua. And you want somebody else's name Jeremiah, but somebody else named Jeremiah and everything. And once you exhausted the list and you think, I don't have any more names to call my children biblically, how about Dodo? Amen. I dare you. But Dodo was a great man. He was a hero, as a matter of fact. And he was the one whose hand clave unto the sword. Now, there's another of David's mighty men, here listed, and his name is Shammah. Now, David himself had a brother by the name of Shammah, who was a warrior, but this is not the same one. This was a different Shammah, and the Bible tells us that it was a different Shammah. But listen, follow the story here as I bring this out. The Philistines had come to a parcel of land that belonged to the Israelites. And they gathered together in a troop. Now, some people think that they gathered in the place where Samson had killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. That may have been, we don't know for sure. But we do know that this was in the land of Israel. Now, in that land, that parcel of land, it was filled with lentils. Now, lentils I don't know if you've ever had them before, and if you have lentil soup or whatever, but they're delicious. And they're very, very nutritious. They contain minerals and fiber, protein, a lot of it. They're a great source of magnesium and calcium and zinc and other minerals as well and so forth. And they're very rich in that way. And so the people of Israel, they feasted on those lentils and they had a good time doing so. It was delicious and everything else. And but you know, there are some other people that were outside and they were the Philistines and they knew that those lentils were there and they wanted them. And so they just came in a troop. And they took over. Because they wanted those lentils. But the people that had been there, the Israelites that had been there, they were there in that land first. And so they looked at Philistines and it's just like bullies coming into a playground or something, you know, and taking over that playground and the kids flee and everything and they took over. And so the people started to flee. They said, okay, they were too intimidating. They said, okay, well, you can have them. You can have them. And so they took off. Everybody except for one man. His name was Shammah. And Shammah says, you're not going to have these lentils. You're not going to have this land. You're not taking over. And so Shammah got his sword out. And he started wielding them at the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory and slew all those Philistines. And they were able to... And he said, hey, come on back, folks. Come on back. If everything is all right in my father's house, just come on back. The Philistines are dead and gone. Come back and take your lentils back. Now, folks, I want to say this. In everybody's life, in every life here, you run into, at one time or other, a piece of ground into which the enemy enters and they want that ground for its lentils.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You got some lentils in your life that the devil wants.
Amen.
You see. You know that soon the Russians and the Iranians and the Turks and several others, they're all going to turn against Israel in the end times.
Yeah.
And they're going to march in unison against toward Israel and march towards it. And they're going to try to destroy Israel and to take their land. Why do they want that? Why are they going to do that? Well, they're going to try to do it. They're not going to be able to. God's going to kill them. Amen.
Amen.
But why are they going to try to do that? Because the Israelites got something that they want. They're rich in minerals. I mean, that little country right over there, they're just rich. And Russia wants it. Iran wants it. Turkey wants it. All the other Arabian countries, they want it. And so forth. And I want to tell you something right now. The devil wants what you've got.
Yeah.
Let me tell you some of the things that he wants. The devil, first of all, wants the lentils of our country. The lentils of our country. Now, I know this is past the 4th of July and everything, but let's have a little fireworks for a little bit and tell you about... Hey, this country is rich in lentils. I'm not talking about literally lentils, although we do have a lot of them. But this country, there's the enemy wants what we have. The liberals... let me tell you something. They want our country. They like our lentils. They like those purple mountain majesties. They like the amber waves of grain. They like the spacious skies. They like the gold and the silver and the copper mines. They like all of it. They just don't want us in the playground. And the bullies want to come and they want to take over and they like the lentils, but they don't like what brought the lentils. They want the blessings, but they don't like what brought the blessings. They like your land.
Yeah.
They like your farms. They like your cars and your trucks and your SUVs and your nice houses. And praise God for those things. But they like them. They like your four-wheelers. They like your swimming pools and everything else. But you know, how do you think they're going to get those lentils? Here's what they're going to do. They're going to try to take over political office and tax us up to the hilt until they've squeezed every last penny out of us so that we can't afford it anymore. In other words, they want to get rid of the middle class. Sounds like socialism to me. Sounds like communism to me.
But that's what they want to do. And the devil doesn't want us to believe that that's what they want. Hey, let me tell you something. The liberals all got on television and for a debate and arguing against each other and like they're mad again. Hey, don't kid yourself. They're all lined up in unison. It's just all a facade. They want to, hey, that's what they want. That's what they want. They want the lentils. And so, hey, one day, a pastor was preaching on America, and he was preaching against sin, and he was preaching on the things that were taking our country down, and preaching against communism and everything else. I mean, he was just unloading the truck. After he got done preaching, somebody came up to him. He was a communist. He was out there. He come up to the preacher and he said, hey, if you don't like what we're doing, why don't you just leave? And the preacher said, because we were here first. Amen. And I want to tell you something. Us Christians were here first. Hey, we're blessed with lentils because of our rich heritage that God had given us. I mean, Roger Williams was a Baptist preacher, and he established Rhode Island. Lord Baltimore held church services in establishing the state of Maryland. He turned over in his grave to see what's going on in Baltimore today. William Penn said this, in writing government policies for Pennsylvania, he made sure, quote, that all treasurers, judges, and all elected officials profess faith in Jesus Christ. Man, I tell you what, we've got a rich heritage. Thank God for it. 12 of the original 13 colonies incorporated the entire Ten Commandments into their civil and criminal codes. President John Adams stated this. He said this. He said the law given from Sinai was a civil and municipal code as well as a moral and religious code. These are laws essential to the existence of men in society, and most of which have been enacted by every nation which ever professed any code of laws. Vain indeed would be the search among the writings of secular history to find so broad, so complete, so solid a basis of morality as the Ten Commandments laid down.
Amen.
Hey, get this. In the House of Representatives, and we know who's the head of the House of Representatives, the Speaker of the House. In the House of Representatives, right across the Speaker's seat, there's a sculpture of Moses. If there's a sculpture, I've never seen it, but if there's a sculpture of Moses, I can almost guarantee you he's holding the Ten Commandments. And the Speaker of the House, whenever she gets up and spreads her liberal agenda about anything, abortion, whatever it is, she's got to look at that. She's got to look right at Moses, and she's got to look right at those Ten Commandments. And if she's going to talk about abortion, she's got to remember that what God said, thou shalt not kill.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm telling you what, isn't that something?
That's good.
Next time you see her sitting in her seat there in the House of Representatives, see how long she looks straight ahead. She's going to try to avoid that thing. Amen. President George Washington said, it is impossible to govern the world without God and the Bible. Of all dispositions and habits that lead to political prosperity, our religion and morality are indispensable supporters. You know what? Back in 1776, British commander William Howe took 30,000 of his veteran British soldiers to take New York. 30,000. He was moving toward that way with them. General George Washington only had 18,000 troops, and they were inexperienced. They were not veterans. They were just inexperienced troops. So the British troops outflanked Washington's. Washington lost 1,000 men and two top generals in one day. Washington's troops were highly discouraged, very discouraged. But without any reason whatsoever, the British halted their troops. Had they pressed on and taken advantage of the situation, they would have destroyed and they would have crushed General Washington and his troops, and they would have taken over New York, and who knows what the outcome of that would have been. But you see, Washington and his troops still had to, they had to cross. Their only way of escape was to cross the East River. The weather was super bad, and it just seemed impossible to cross. And here's what George Washington did. He called for a prayer meeting for his with his troops. He said, boys, he said, come on together. He said, we got to pray about this. Amen. And they prayed, and he prayed for, and asked for God's guidance and for God's help and God's wisdom. And after he prayed, he decided to go ahead and try to cross the storming river. But then, right when they got there, right at 11 o'clock p.m., the wind died and the rain stopped, and the river just became smooth as glass. Washington and his troops started crossing over the river, but there was still a problem. He had to get all of them across the river, and Commander Howe of the British, he was waiting for them to come. Just waiting for him. Then all of a sudden, a dense fog came down over the river and blinded General Howe and his troops. They could not see a thing. Meanwhile, Washington and his men, every single one of them, crossed over without even being seen. As soon as the last one of Washington's troops had crossed over, the fog had lifted up, and when Howe looked out, he saw nothing. He saw that Washington and his men escaped. That was the divine intervention of Almighty God, and that is just one story of God's intervention. And God has blessed this country because we have put God first in America. But I want to tell you what, brother. You can hear the Philistines coming. They want this country, and they want it bad. If the Lord tarries his return, brother, we need to be in a lot of prayer for next year. A lot of prayer. We don't need any more if you can't lick them, join them people. We need a host of shamans. Amen. We need some patriots of God that are going to say, hey, I'm going to stay right with it. Right with it. And by the way, you know what our nation needs more of? Preachers.
Amen.
Yeah. I thank God for plumbers. Thank God for electricians. Thank God for engineers. Thank God for construction workers. Thank God for them all. Amen. If we didn't have any new preachers know what I'm talking about. If you didn't have them, you'd be out of a job. Amen. But I tell you what, brother, we need to raise up some more preachers.
Amen.
Some more shamans. Someone said that preaching is the moral conscience of a nation. But God says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Let's put it this way. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching even to save our nation. This land has become the home of the brave, but many of those who love this land, dearly love this land, are fleeing from those who hate our country, and they're fleeing from the Philistines, and they don't care whether they take over or not. But we gotta stay right with it. There's something else. The devil wants the lentils of our churches. The lentils of our churches. Folks, many of these contemporary churches across America today used to be fundamental Baptists.
Right. It's good, preacher.
I mean, here's what happens. Here's what happens. A fundamental pastor leaves who's been faithful, amen, and so forth, and holding forth the word of life, King James, everything. And either dies or leaves, resigns, whatever. And here's what happens oftentimes. Wolves either come in from the outside or they rise up from the, or they rise up from the inside or they come in from the outside. And that's what the apostle Paul warned them when he said to the Ephesians after he was getting ready to leave them. He said, "For I know that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them." I've seen these contemporary churches. I wasn't part of them.
Amen.
But I know that they used to be fundamental Baptists.
Yeah.
And then somebody had come in and maybe had the facade of being fundamental.
Yeah. Come
on. Then after a few months, he showed his true colors.
Yeah.
And turn that church into a contemporary church.
Yeah.
I tell you what, this is a wonderful church right here.
Amen.
Thank God for it.
Amen.
I want to tell you something. The devil wants the lentils of this church.
Right.
And every single preacher here, that pastors, you know, the devil wants the lentils of your church.
Yeah.
He's just licking his chops. I remember the church I got saved at. It wasn't Fundamental Baptist Church. It was back in the early 70s is when I got saved. And I got saved, and actually it was a Missionary Alliance church. They preached the King James Bible. They dressed like, just like you and I. They sang just like you and I. They had the standard. They were very much the same. The preacher preached out of the King James Bible, and only that. It was a good church. And every once in a while when I would go back to South Bend, Indiana, you know, I'm a little bit nostalgic. You know, when it comes to my salvation, you know, I remember the very spot that I got saved. And I would go back over there and I would come within maybe 3 feet or 5 feet of the very place that my wife and I knelt and received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. One time we went there a couple of years ago, my wife and I did. We had some time, and I said, "Hey, let's go over to the church we got saved at. I want to see if I can get in and all of that." So my wife was kind of leery about it, but I went anyway. Door was open; there was nobody there, and I went in. And my wife stood guard outside. And I went in, and man alive, I was so disappointed. Because what I saw was something I had never seen. They took out all the pews. They took away the pulpit. They had these chairs. And they had a platform. And they had a set of drums up on it. It had finally turned into a contemporary church. And now that's embedded in my memory, in my mind. I'm just simply saying, folks, look, I keep telling our folks all the time, I'm not going to be here forever. You know? And be honest with you, I told our folks, I said, man, you got to be very careful about who you get.
Yeah.
When I leave here. Because the devil wants the lentils of our churches. And lastly, the devil wants the lentils of our children. You've got some precious kids. Precious. Those kids that sang over here just a while ago, man, I tell you what, that's precious. You can't get better than that. But you know what? The devil wants them. The devil wants them.
Yes.
States, you know that children are going to summer school now all year long?
Yeah.
In the state schools, in the public schools.
Right.
And it's not because like back in the old days, it's because that they, you know, back in the old days, it's because they had done poorly academically.
That's true.
Not so now. You say, well, why? Because the state wants them all year long.
Yeah.
And you think that they're going to teach them anything?
Come on.
They're not teaching anything right now.
That's right.
Listen, I've got three kids. They're all grown up and out of the house now, and none of them set foot in a public school. I'm just gonna say it.
Amen.
When we came here, there was no Christian school whatsoever. None in the area. Your Christian school that you have here, it did not exist then. 27 years ago. There was no Christian school anywhere, of any kind. So we had no choice but to homeschool. And by the way, we're so glad that we did. My wife was scared to death. Like a lot of you ladies were when you first start homeschooling. I can't do this.
Amen.
And Daddy said, yes you are. And I tell you what, you can talk to my wife about it. She said, I would not have it any other way. Thank God for Christian education.
Amen.
Man, I tell you what, the devil wants the lentils of our children. Hate to say this, but the sodomites want them.
Right.
Now they've added pedophiles.
Yeah.
You know? They want them. Social media wants your kids. Cell phones want your kids. Television wants your kids. The rock music industry, they want your children.
Right.
And by the way, there's unsaved boys and girls that want your precious boys and girls.
Yeah. Yes, right.
They want them. And what we need are some moms and dads who are going to be shamas and just rise up and say, no, you're not going to get them.
Amen.
And pray a hedge about them and pray for them. Like Job sacrificed and prayed for his children every day. You see. But I want you, in closing, I'm going to close real quick here. Look over at verse 12. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. And slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Notice that word, he defended it. You know what they say? The best defense is a good what? Offense. He had a sword. He took out his sword and he used it. And God brought the victory. He didn't. God got the glory. He didn't. But thank God he stood up. He had to do what he had to do.
Amen.
And we've got to do what we've got to do. You say, well, what do we have for a sword? I'm not you taking your 30-30 or your, you know, I'm talking about this sword right here.
Yeah.
You know what we need to do? Keep on knocking on doors.
Yes, sir.
The devil wants our country. You say, how do I defend my country? Keep on knocking on doors.
Amen.
Keep on passing out tracts.
Yeah.
Keep on telling preacher, keep on preaching it.
Yeah.
Don't quit. Don't stop. We need some shamans. We need some moms who are going to take the word of God and teach their children. We need some parents who are going to take the word of God and gather their children around with the word of God and have Bible time and so forth. We need some shamans. We need some people who are going to say, you are not going to take over my lentils.
Amen.
We need some shamans tonight.
Amen.
God give us some. That's our word of prayer.